Welcome to Under the Hill, a walking tour of the archaeology of the John Brown House Yard. My name is Bridget Smith, and this tour was produced as part of a Brown University archaeology course. The information in this walking tour comprises two seasons of work, one class in 2008 and another in 2009, distilling months of dirt, rain, and backaches into 10 minutes of exploration. Enjoy! As you progress through the tour, keep in mind the cardinal directions. The John Brown House Yard is framed on three sides by streets: Charles Field to the north, Power to the south, and Benefit to the west. If the house itself is to your right, you're facing north. Take a moment to orient yourself. You may find the map helpful, and then proceed north along the brick path. To your right, you will see a set of stairs leading to a black door. If you have already taken a tour of the house, you may have heard about this. The door is no longer functional. It was originally used as a servant's entrance, opening onto a staircase that led to the servants' quarters and a storage area. The alterations made by Marsden Perry, who owned the house from 1901 until his death in 1935, took this door out of service. Please refrain from knocking. It annoys the staff. Also, it's not as funny as you think it is. Farther along, you can see a distinct line in the bricking of the house where an addition was built. The original house, in true Georgian style, was a perfect square. The Gamel family, who owned this house from 1846 to 1901, added a three-room servants' quarters. Marsden Perry made further alterations, building a three-story addition on the back of the house, which you can see in front of you. Here in the ivy next to the house were two units from the 2009 season. This area was chosen for excavation because it was the possible location for a geothermal well, so it was a sort of rescue archaeology in the case of possible outbuildings, in addition to the general hope of finding artifacts of daily life. In the southeast corner was a 1 meter by 1 meter square which had to be abandoned when they exposed the main electrical wire for the house, thought to be located 3 feet further north. As will be seen later, this was far from the only intrusion of modern life into archaeological remains. To the north was another unit, this one 2 meters by 2 meters, located to the west of the carriage house, which early maps show was originally a storage shed. Despite the hopes of uncovering another outbuilding, the most notable find in this unit was two segments of a drain pipe. This property was notorious for its drainage problems. John Brown wrote at least one letter warning a prospective neighbor about the wet and muddy land. Most of these issues were concentrated, according to John Brown, in the southwest corner of his lot. You will note that this location is more elevated than that area, but you may also note that this is not the top of the hill. If you turn and proceed down the marble steps, following the path to the parking lot entrance, I will lead you along the top of the Hale Ives house. While you walk, take a look at the drawing of the Hale Ives house in your pamphlet. This is a view from Benefit Street to your left, taken circa 1900. The house was demolished in the mid-1920s by Marsden Perry, then owner of the John Brown House, who understandably preferred this large, sweeping lawn to a vacant house on his property. Geophysical surveys were performed in 2008 by the Brown University Geology Department, in which the conductivity of the terrain is measured in order to find anomalies which may indicate structures. These show the remnants of an apparently rectangular structure, starting parallel to Charles Field Street, curving around and stretching along Benefit Street, before curving eastward and petering out. Historic maps clearly showed a building at this location, so in the 2008 season, several units were excavated in this area. As you walk along the fence to the west, you may notice a depression in the earth some feet south of the fence. Sunken areas of land are one of the signals that something might be buried underneath, so two 1 meter by 1 meter square units were dug in this area. These units yielded an assortment of bricks and mortar along with a water pipe and spigot. Also found in this unit were evidence of fire and an assortment of modern artifacts, like a styrofoam cup from the Mr. Donut coffee shop, which went out of business in 1990, and a coffee milk container. The students came to the conclusion that some remains of the foundations of the house created a convenient location for the burning of trash in modern times. Artifacts from the historic layer include a .22 bullet casing from a rifle, dating the context from which it was removed to no earlier than 1871, when it was invented. Despite these results, it was decided that in 2009, different areas would be excavated in order to learn more about the whole property. Head southwest over to the next unit to learn why. It's located by the large tree closest to Planet Street, as indicated on your map. Here lies one of two units excavated over the course of both 2008 and 2009, which seems to lie directly over the outer foundation wall of the Hale Ives house. It was begun in 2008 as 2 1-by-1-meter squares spaced 1.5 meters apart. One of these was excavated down to a set of large stones placed closely together in a feature that was clearly man-made and above which the soil was full of gravel. The other, despite its nearness, was a very different type of soil, much more like what was found in the other units. Because of this, the class theorized that it could be, as shown on the geophysical survey, the outer wall of the Hale Ives house, and therefore it was continued in 2009 by expanding into a 2 by 2 meter square. This unit was also divided in a sharp contrast between gravelly soil upon large stones and the typical rocky New England soil, this time on the opposite side of the apparent wall. Notable finds in this unit include a chunk of ceramic electrical insulation dating to the early 1900s, including the twisted metal wires which conducted electricity, along with ceramics whose colors and decorations date them to both the 1700s and the 1800s. Thus, there is a mix of artifacts from both the heyday of the Hale Ives house and from its destruction. There were also a number of fully modern artifacts, such as red plastic beads and shards of a measuring cup. Furthermore, adding to the strength of the theory that this is the Hale Ives house, an iron architectural brace was found in the wall of the unit, and a slab of marble was excavated from its floor. When compared to the historic maps, combined with the massive size of the stones, it becomes clear that this was the foundation wall of the Hale Ives house. Take another look at the image in your pamphlet. 100 years ago, that house was exactly where you are standing right now. Continue due south along the fence until you reach the second large tree you come to. Again, the location is marked on your map. You are currently walking atop what is possibly a gravel path dating to the years after the destruction of the Hale Ives house. While the maps from this time period exhibit the usual historical unreliability, the gravelly soil I mentioned the last unit, combined with a few hints on a map or two, suggest that Marsden Perry turned the remnants of the walls into a walking path in order to enjoy his newly cleared property. This is the site of the final two units, one small shovel test pit from 2008 and an expansion into a 1-by-2-meter trench in 2009. This unit featured a neatly stacked wall of stones running nearly north-south. This discovery was largely an accident, begun at the last moment in preparation for the next season's work, intended to yield potential sites for future units. It certainly achieved success in that respect. This fortunate discovery gave us a fascinating feature which seems to have been a walking path that barely appears on historic maps. Furthermore, modern life has intruded into this unit in a disarmingly non-disruptive way. A water hose pipe, such as could be used in a sprinkler system, runs east-west through it without disturbing the stones above or below. While this, by the rules of archaeology, would mean the wall would have to be no older than the hose, there is no record or memory of this wall, nor is there any reason to build a wall around a hose like that. More likely, the hose was propelled through the ground in installing a sprinkler system, and this pulled the hose through the already buried wall without disturbing the stones at all. Aside from the rubber hose pipe, this unit had a number of interesting finds, like a 2001 dime. Coins are a favorite of archaeologists because they can so easily be used to date the context from which they are removed. Also interesting was the collection of white ceramic tiles that was found both in the shovel test pit and in the extended unit. There were a number of artifacts that could be found in all the units, from fragments of ceramic tobacco pipes, very common throughout colonial New England, to imported ceramics, particularly notable here considering John Brown's involvement with trade. Overall, the yard of the John Brown House yields much more history and excitement than its current tranquil appearance suggests. I would like to thank the Rhode Island Historical Society for giving us the chance to discover this for ourselves, and I hope you enjoyed, or at least found informative, this foray under College Hill into the history of Providence. On behalf of all the students in the Brown University course, The Archaeology of College Hill, thank you. I'm Bridget Smith.